Well, it's a real joy to be here again. Sorry, we I don't know, some clash last month, but we're here now. So we always find it a privilege and a joy to be here, and a joy to stand in this sacred spot. I was just thinking earlier how many times I've preached over the years. It mounts up into thousands, and yet how many times really do we need God's help? How many times I've just done it because I can do it? But how many times when, you know, God comes? And so, Father, would you come today? Will you speak? Will you touch lives? Come, Spirit of God, you are welcome in this place. We so need you among us. Unless you bless the deed, we labour in vain. But when you come, when you touch a life, we're changed. So we're expecting change in this place today. We don't want to just do another church service, listen to another bit of preaching. Spirit, come. We ask it in Jesus' name, and the saints of God together say, Amen. Well, bless God. You're right, darling, you sat there. I missed your singing today.
Yeah, I'm having a week off.
Having a week? You got a week off? Yeah. You got a week off? All right, well, praise God. John chapter 7, and we start at verse 37. They've had this great ceremony for 7 days. This is the eighth day, the great high day of it all, and they come down to the pool of Siloam and get water from the pool there, and they take it back to the temple and they pour it out. And you know, that's the setting to this. That's why it says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out in a loud voice, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. And as the scripture says, out of his belly will flow streams of living water. Now this he spoke about the Spirit, who those who believed in him was to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, for Jesus had not yet been glorified. That's roughly what it says, give or take a word here or there. So it says a number of things here, but one thing, let's do the last bit first. I'm not normally doing it, then we catch up. For as yet Jesus had not been glorified, therefore the Spirit had not been given. Yeah, that's what it says. In Acts 2:38 it says this, Jesus being ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of majesty on high, and received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, thus pour out that which you both now see and hear. So Jesus has now been glorified, seated at the right hand of majesty on high. He takes the promised Holy Spirit, the Old Testament promises, and pours it out on his church, Acts chapter 2. That one. Now, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they're all together in one place, and they're like, and there's a mighty wind in the earth shaking, and all spoken tongues, and filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is pouring out. Now, I'm going to tell you something today which is going to come as a revelation. Jesus hasn't stopped pouring. Someone say, Jesus has not stopped pouring. Yet the church lives as if he has. And yet Christians live as they have, as if he hadn't, as if he'd stopped. Jesus has not stopped pouring out. So we're going to go now very quickly back to Acts chapter, John chapter 7, verse 37. Jesus stood up and cried out in a loud voice, if, my first point is this, if, it's conditional. If is a condition. I will do that if. I will if. So it implies that God just don't do something because you're walking down the road and he makes his mind up, thinks, oh, I'm not going to do something for her. There's an if to it. It's a bit iffy. No, there is an if to it. Stick with me because you'll see this. Because we all want God to do something. I'm going to wake up tomorrow and be different. Hopefully. But it's like heaven comes back and says, yes, you will, if. We want to get out of personal responsibility. We don't want to do anything, but we want God to do everything. I'm going to change. Yeah, you will. If. I'm going to be blessed. So, if, yeah, see, we all want to skip over that. We want God to do it all. But God turns out from heaven and says, if. First one. Anyone. Come on. You must qualify. No matter how low your self-esteem is, you must rate yourself as anyone. Someone. Even if you're no one, you're still someone, aren't you? Because you must be a someone to be a no one. Yeah. So if anyone, see, it's going to be very profound at the start, anyway. But is restricted anyone? If anyone here believes. See, you are going to throw yourself into that because you should start. Ooh, so excited. You are not like the bloke who ate salt. You are, and anyone is different. In fact, let's be the second one. You are. You are an anyone who's different. You're not just an anyone. If you call yourself Christian, you are different. If anyone who believes. Next one. If anyone who believes thirsts. I'm going to tell you something today which in my own life and in all our lives is this. We have learned to be content with what we've got. I was in a meeting once and somebody said to me, Charlie, you can't be ever satisfied. And I thought, that's a compliment, I think. I'm not sure he meant it as a compliment, but it's so easily satisfied. Oh, you want more of God? Who wants more of God? Shame on you if you don't. If you want more of God, what are you, if, doing about it? Well, if God wants me to have more of him, he's just going to have to turn up and say, hey, I have this. It don't work like that. If anyone thirsts, I want to tell you today, there's a godly, what is a thirst? A thirst is a desire, a yearning, an insatiable appetite. Is that fair? What's wrong?
Unquenchable.
Something that's just in there. You know, so you've got that going on in you, but somehow or another, each one of us learns to pacify it. Oh, we have to be busy, or we make excuses for all around the past, which is quite easy there. If you're not me, well, we've got a reason why not. And yet, all the time, is that a thirst? I don't know about you, but I don't want to be content with my Christian life. Firstly, because I don't care. And I know there's still work to be done. Don't make excuses for where you are. Please do not. I think I'm going to die. Don't you? It's sort of. One of my favourite texts from Gideon, just in passing, it says, faint yet pursuing in the old atmosphere. And I like that. I want to be that one who's, yeah, I'm not there, I'm still going through. I'm still with it. reaching toward the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Not that I've already attained, but this one thing I did, it couldn't close my mind. I press for you, I reach for you. Are you still reaching? Or have you become? Are you still thirsty? If any man thirsts, any man, let him come unto me. Is that right? Let him come. And that's an action on our part. And let him drink. That's faith on our part. You see, you can go, I can put some glasses of water. Thank you, Mr. Smith. But it only works when I come. I'm satisfied by thirst when I come and I drink. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Nothing profound so far. Nothing going to get much profound for me, you know that. But anyway. Let him drink in faith. So remember, Romans 10:17. Faith comes how? By hearing, and hearing of the word of God. So then we come to point 6 out of this, which says this. As the scripture says, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. Yeah? Where does it say that in the scripture? I better tell you something really good, it don't. It don't say it. That quote Jesus said, as the scripture says, that each valley will flow with us living water, is not found in scripture. You look at your cross margins and have that accident, get out of that. Isaiah 44:3. No, that's what that preacher did anyway. But don't say that. You've learned something today, haven't you? Has Jesus got it wrong? No, of course not. How can Jesus get it wrong? So what is he really saying? He's saying the scriptures clearly teach that if any man thirst, then come to me, and what is the consequence of him coming to me? It will be like rivers of living water flowing out of his innermost being, out of his heart. My wife's looking it up. He doesn't. But what it does say is this: God prophetically throughout the Old Testament pointed to a day which we live in, when there will be an outpouring of the Spirit on all flesh, and that's where we are today. I have to work hard. All right, Isaiah 43. Let me give you a few Old Testament scriptures to point to it. Starting at verse 18. Very quickly. And it says, Isaiah 43 and 18, and it says, do you not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old? For behold, I do a new thing. Can someone just say new thing?
New thing.
God wants to do a new thing for you. Now it shall spring forth, and you shall know it. I will make you ride the wilderness, and where? Rivers in the desert, basically the field where I made the jackals and ostrich, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, to my chosen. Is that what it says? It does. Turn over the page then. Isaiah, while you're still there, 58:11. And it says, the Lord will guide you continually. He will satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones, and you will be like a watered garden and springs of water whose waters do not fail. That's what it says. Psalm 10, I was just thinking on this coming in today, thinking about Psalm 1. What's the man going to be like who blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the way of the wicked or sit in the seat of the scoff or stand in the way of sinners? He delights in the law of the Lord and in that law does he meditate both day and night. He shall be like a tree that is planted by streams of living water. We're getting there. Good. Some more for you. Ready? Isaiah 41. 17 and 18. You're there. When the poor and needy seek water and their tongues are parched with thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in the desert places and fountains in the desert valleys. And you can read that. So, throughout the scripture, God clearly shows this, that for his people, he's going to pour out the water. And I will get to John chapter 2, which you're all thinking in the manner. I can read it from the heart. But firstly, let's see that that's what God wants to do. No matter, oh, Brother Stroud, I'm in a dry place. I like that one. I'm in the desert, blossom as a rose. I'm for rivers in the desert. The wilderness, I've rivers running through it. No matter how dry you are, there is a river. This Psalm 46. And about, of course it's there. Come on, girl, you know that one. Psalm 46, and round about there. It's saying.
There is a river whose streams.
That's it, verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. No matter how hard your life is, no matter where you are now, I want to say there is a river. God hasn't stopped pouring out. And what does he say to us? If you're thirsty, in the midst of all this, come and have a drink. See, we make it too hard on ourselves. I've had people, oh, Pastor, oh, I'm struggling. Oh, do you know why I am? I am. The way I am. Honestly, it's because there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. There is the place that I can come to and drink, and it's the same place for you. There is an abundance of water. There is sufficient for all. Why? Because Jesus said this concerning the Spirit, who those who believed on him were to receive, if they would come and drink.
Right.
It's not that hard, honestly. You will get hard and you will think, oh, I can murder a cat. And you'll sit there, and in all honesty, do you know what? That cup of tea is not going to come walking across your lounge. Or for those of us who take a mug of tea, for us Christian people that don't drink tea, a mug of coffee will come across the floor. We don't know like that. Oh, it did. But you have to do something about, oh, I wish. There's a longing desire in each man. Augustine, let's get profound now. Augustine said, our hearts are restless until they rest in God. There is a longing in each one of us for a deeper relationship with God. A fresher relationship with God. That's what the word we need to put in the middle of this, freshness. Oh, I really have some people say to me, oh, when I was first saved, I was excited about Jesus. Go home to your wife and say, oh, when I first met you, I was all unnecessary, but now, you know.
You've been out of me.
Like that's what I'm going to say to you. It don't work like that, does it? It works because it's keeping being refreshed, hopefully. And the reason why some don't, because we're going to say, not refreshed. evolving and developing and fresh. If I say to you today, God was touching my waist right now, you'd all turn around and think, who's this doing to you? That's what the Bible says. If God is pouring out, we need to take our umbrellas down. Let me just tell you a few more scriptures just in case. Isaiah, I love it, 55 and 1. Ho! I love it. Everyone thirsty. Come ye to the waters, and ye that have no money, come buy milk and honey without money and price. It's free. So your thirst can be assuaged free. It's without money or price. Then you go to put it like this. Now why do you labour for that which is hungry? Why do you work for that which does not satisfy? Hey, I want to give you something, and here you are trying to make something else. Now, this is the one you're not going to buy. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse. See, I just want to talk to you by that. See, the thing is, too many preachers don't preach. Isaiah 52. Chapter 2. And it's verse 13, isn't it? It says this: my people, this is the one that you and I need to be so careful of, have committed two evils. My people, not them out there. But my people have committed two evils. One, they've abandoned me, the fountain of living water. Can I just tell you this? Christian life, you can live your Christian life without Christ. And do you know what I mean by that? Go through the ritual. Be religious. Play the game. Yes, Father. Spiritual aerobics. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Firstly, they've abandoned me, the fountain of living water. Secondly, and this is so much like you and I, they have built for themselves cisterns, storage tanks. So now, living water gets put in a pond, becomes stagnant. And then God, almost shaking his head, said, and they're brats, they leak. Religion, the enemy of Christianity and life in the spirit, is this, that I am so used to doing. Do you ever read the word religion? The root of the word religion is bondage. She puts her washing out religiously on Wednesday. She goes to Tesco's religiously on Thursday. The root of the meaning of the word is bondage, to be tied chained to. We, if we are not careful, not you, me, you can always look at me. If we're not careful, we'll have two evils. We will forsake the fountain of the water. The man of Christianity is not living, it's not vibrant, it's not exciting, it's not fresh. And secondly, we can just have no life here. Effervescence. Bit of check for your best profit, Nick. If you want a bottle of water, just say, double vodka, good water, best profit, Nick, for that one. Have yourself in our Christian life is just not a bit without bottles. It's just that effervescence. It's just that spark. It's deep.
I don't know, you know, you can tell me. Beware of religion. Okay, I was wanting to just quickly show you the signs of it, because I didn't start to conquer.
Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3,
verse 6. Oh, look there, let me have a look. Verse 3.
Now, don't look at the person next to you. Just look at me. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw waters from the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord. That's what it says. So hang on. Therefore, with joy. You did say joy, didn't you? Therefore, with joy shall ye draw from the Spirit that living water from the wells of salvation, and in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord.
So, could it be then
that a symptom of us not drawing fresh water could be not joyful?
Let me just give you another scripture. Why? Zechariah chapter 4, isn't it? No, I'm 90, I'm getting ahead of myself. Nehemiah 8:10.
The joy of the Lord is your strength. Why are you weak? Maybe. Why do we keep falling into the same problem? Maybe. Why do we struggle with the same thing continually? Maybe. Could it be that we're not drawing from the wells of salvation? I'll just try that out there, you know, because now I'm going to give you a couple more scriptures than that.
We must be ready. Joel,
who someone was thinking about, chapter 2, verse 28, which is also repeated in Acts chapter 2, and verse 16, 17. The prophet Joel says, remember I said in the Old Testament, it's been prophesied, chapter 2, verse 28. And I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Have a little pinch. I know you think that person sitting next to you is an alien, but it's not your flesh. Have a pinch. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. On my men servants, not my maid servants. Not women, no. On my men servants, not my maid servants, will I pour out my spirit. Sad for the Lord, and that's why the church has had problems historically, because they've come in the first and second class, and that's what men do. But the Bible says that my men servants and my maid servants can pass a day, and now I'm not free, I'm a slave, I'm free, Jew, and I'm Greek. Oh, yeah, I'm a part of my spirit in those days, and your young men shall dream dreams, your old men shall see visions. I remember a brother I knew, I said, I have visions. I've been seeing visions. Have you seen visions? Yes, visions.
And this is a scripture I want to preach to you, really, but this. Isaiah, chapter 44, and verse 3. And it says, and this is the scripture, if you looked in your margin, remember I said, doesn't it say that in scripture?
If you looked in your margin, this is the scripture of Jeremy Clement. And I will pour.
So it says?
Yeah.
It does, doesn't it? I will pour my spirit. Remember what Jesus said? He spoke about the spirit. On your descendants, and my blessing on your offspring.
But I've missed a bit out, haven't I? Oh yeah, for I will pour water on him who is thirsty, and floods on dry grounds. Now that's what God said, not Ken. God said, Jesus stood up and cried out, when man thirsts, let him come unto me now and drink, and he must let his drink of blood and water. God says, I will pour my spirit on him who is thirsty, and floods on dry ground. Now this he spoke about the spirit. What more can I say other than this? I'll give you one more scripture. Isaiah 34. And you sing this probably, and verse 26, and you didn't know where it came from. I will make them in the place around my heel a blessing. And I will cause showers to come down from heaven. There will be 34, 26. Hey? Does it say that?
Ezekiel.
That's good, you were listening. That was your test, you passed. Ezekiel 34 and 26. Yeah, we're there now. For I will make them and the place around my head a blessing. And I will cause showers to come down on them in their season. And there shall be showers of blessing. You lot Pentecostal people are having a moment now. There will be showers of blessing if we but trust and obey. There will be seasons refreshing if we let go. I know you remember. Showers of blessing. What can I say other than this? There's an invitation. When I was in my life coming today, when I got time to do this, what we'll do, let's put the show soon. How long are you to go away and say, am I thirsty? And if not, that's the time actually, really, that. Don't let my go on my own. Am I thirsty? You see, I'm not going to promise. If you will come, we'll pour out to you. I'm excited. I mean, we're going to go to that conversation about this time, and then this is still on.